Our encouraging word for today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I assure you it is very, very encouraging, so please bear with me. There is a long time story that's been told for many, many years. I think it originates in about 1906, possibly 1910, the first time it had ever been seen written down. But as the story goes, Ernest Hemingway and several of his fellow writers had made a wager between each other. And the wager was, let's see who can write the best story with the fewest words. And as the story is told, Ernest Hemingway wrote a story with just six words. And the six words were these: for sale, baby shoes, never worn. Though it's attributed to Ernest Hemingway, as I said, it's highly unlikely that it originated with him. But what a powerful, powerful statement. Six words. It's been found in newspaper ads as well. And as to the casual reader, you come across it, it's not that big of a deal. But if you stop for a minute and see what it says, for sale, baby shoes never worn, your heart and your mind quickly race to a loving mother who is just simply trying to part ways with the items that remind her of the child that never came. That's what happened to David, for the most part, in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Our encouraging word comes from verse 22 and 23, and we're going to take note of what David says. He said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. We're studying 2 Samuel in our Wednesday night class here at Northwest, and I look forward to this chapter tonight as we gather together this evening. When chapter 12 begins, Nathan comes to David and tells him that God knows what he's done with Bathsheba. Not only has he committed adultery and had a baby boy through that sinful act, but he also moved her husband to the front of the battle line so that he would be killed by the enemy. David has slept with another man's wife, and then he put that man to death. Nathan tells David that the child would surely die because of his sin. When David hears this, he goes into his inner chamber and he lays on the ground for 7 days, refusing to get up and refusing to eat. After 7 days had passed, the child died. And it's interesting to watch in those verses that David's servants are so scared to tell him the news because of the way that he was acting while the child was still alive. He sees them whispering, and he goes and he asks them, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. David cleans himself up, goes into the house of the Lord, and worships God. Then he goes home, they set food before him, and he eats. And it's at that time that the servants ask him, what have you done? They basically say, what in the world? You're doing everything backwards. While the baby was alive, you fasted and you wept and you cried out for 7 days and you wouldn't eat. And now you have news that the baby has actually died. And now you've cleaned yourself up, you've gone to worship, and now you're eating. What have you done? This brings us to our encouraging word and what David actually says. He said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now the child is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David makes an amazing statement here. I will go to him. This statement of faith shows us that David obviously believes in a life of consciousness beyond the grave and a future recognition of his loved ones on the earth. It is amazing. He understands that eternal life is real and that God will bring this child home. It's an amazing word of encouragement for all those who have lost a small child. And I'll tell you that there's several places in the Bible where we can see that children are not accountable for deliberate sin. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39, the Lord says to the nation of Israel, moreover, your children and your little ones, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I shall give it, and they shall possess it. The Lord tells the children of Israel, you're going to die in the wilderness, but your little ones, who don't know the difference between good and evil, they will possess the land after all of you have died off, because they're not guilty. In Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah goes to Ahaz the king, and he asks Ahaz to ask the Lord for a sign. And Isaiah finally says, "There will be a sign given to you. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both of her kings." Again, there's a picture here. The child, before the child shall know to refuse evil and to choose the good. God shares this same information with Jonah in Jonah chapter 4. Jonah's as mad as he can be because God had given him a plant that raised up and kept him shaded from the sun. Then the plant dies and Jonah goes berserk. He's as mad as he can be because the plant died. And the Lord goes to Jonah and says, "Are you mad because the plant is dead?" And Jonah, you know, he's upset and he says, "Yes." And the Lord says to Jonah in chapter 4 and verse 11, "Should I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well?" The Lord says to Jonah, there's 120,000 little ones, babies who don't know their right hand from their left. Jonah, do you want me to destroy all of those children? And of course, the point is made right there. Of course not. Jesus also tells us about this idea. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, the children are being brought to him so that he can touch them and bless them. And the disciples say, no children. And they run the kids off. Children can't be here with the Lord. And Jesus says in Mark 10 and verse 14, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." For those of you who are listening today, be encouraged. If you've lost a young one, they are with God. And whether we've lost a small child or anyone else in our lives who was a faithful believer, if we die in faith, we will see them again. Please understand, if we die in faith, we will see them again. That is a precious message. That is an encouraging word for all of us to hold close to our heart and to never forget. And you know, one other thing about King David in this moment, the fact that he said that the child cannot come to me, but I shall go to him, is amazing. Because David has committed this great sin and he is fully aware of that. Nathan came to him and told him, "You are the man. You have committed adultery, and then you had her husband put to death by sending him out to battle and pushing him to the front lines." David knows he's guilty. But he cries out to God and he begs for forgiveness. Psalm 51 is a great place to see that very forgiveness request. David knows, because Nathan said to him, "God has forgiven you, you shall not die." That when God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. And so David can say with great confidence, "He can't come back to me, but I shall go to him."